It's the age-old question. Is there a devil? Are there demons? Is there a spirit world that we cannot see? Now, we can come up with all the speculation in the world. We can say there is, we can say there isn't, we can say all of these things. But the only way we can truly know if there's a devil and if there are demons, if God reveals it to us. And you'll see from the third chapter of the book of the Bible, Genesis, right at the beginning, God reveals there's an enemy. There's an enemy who has been waging war against God for a very long time, cast out of heaven because of his pride, trying to lead others to follow his ways of rebellion, to follow his ways of enmity against God, to follow his ways of evil, to follow his ways of wanting to be like God. See, that was the temptation that made man fall originally, right? God's trying to keep this from you because if you partake, you will be like God. And isn't that how the devil and or demons tempt us with things we're not supposed to do, sinful, evil things? He said, God's trying to keep joy from you. He's trying to keep this happiness from you. He's trying to keep this pleasure from you. Go ahead, partake. And he may sell you all kind of lies like God's gracious and it's okay. You know what? He always picks me up. Because the devil twists scriptures, and we see over and over again that the enemy has worked to try to get people to follow his path of rebellion. What I want us to hear today is, as a church, as Restoration Road, as a local body of Christ, I want you to be vigilant. Because when you are not vigilant, and you do not realize that there's a spiritual world, and then there's demons that may cause you to stumble or even taken away from the body of Christ or even live in privacy in evil sins, then you will be defeated and the devil will win in this way. He will cause you to be fruitless for the kingdom of God. That's victory for the enemy. If he can keep you so consumed with yourself that you are not able to serve others and use your gifts, he has won. I'm reading this book called The Screwtape Letters. Has anyone read that book by C.S. Lewis? Yeah, I'll give you kind of the premise. The premise is there's two demonic entities, persons, if you would, demons, fallen angels. When I say demons, fallen angels. So what did it say when God created the earth? He created the heavens and the earth. He created angelic beings, and he created men in his image. That's all part of the world he created. And the premise of the book is there's this demon who is apprenticing with this another demon, and he's writing him letters on how to overcome certain people. Because the devil will prey on your weaknesses, right? And or demons will prey on your weaknesses. In one relationship, he says, listen, pay attention to the relationship between this man and his mother. Pay attention to that relationship, because that's where you can get in. She's dramatic. She controls him. She's caused him to stumble. He has an unhealthy allegiance to her. Get in right there. And he's apprenticing him. He's saying, you can't get in there. This is where you can get in. It was a time of war when these letters were written. And so there was another man where he said, see what he's more prone to. Is he prone to being overly patriotic? Or is he prone to be overly passive? Be a pacifist. He said, whatever he's prone to, use that to get him away from the kingdom of God. Because if we can make him an extreme patriot, then we can get him consumed with that and not the kingdom of God. Or if we can make him an extreme pacifist, then we can get him out of here and get consumed with one or the other, an extreme, instead of a balanced approach to day-to-day things where you can grow and be wise in every situation and learn how to navigate. And little by little, he explains each circumstance. And says, watch them. Another one was, humans have peaks and valleys. They're always going to. But be careful. Because you might think that a valley is a good time to attack, and sometimes it is. But sometimes God uses those valleys to strengthen his people. And be careful, because if you can get them in the most broken place in the valley to still say, "Why have you forsaken me?" but still obey God even when you feel forsaken, he said those are the strongest. And be careful that you don't allow them to use the valley for their strength. He's given them all those kinds of demonic wisdom to look at the people of God to break them down. And I want to ask you today, where has the enemy used your weaknesses against you to make you fruitless for the kingdom of God? And if at all possible, cause you to even lose faith? Let's turn to Matthew 4, 1 through 11. It says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. If we're going to learn spiritual warfare, it is vital that we learn from the master. If you're going to learn anything in your life and do it good, you need to go to someone who has mastered that arena of life and learn from them. So what I want to do today is I want us to look at this epic spiritual battle between Jesus and the devil. I want us, first of all, to rejoice because Jesus overcame the devil and has victory. But secondly, I want us to learn from our King and our Master how in our everyday life we can combat the enemy. You see, as C.S. Lewis said famously, and it's important to note, there's two errors Christians make. One is to act like Satan demons don't exist, right? That's one extreme. The another is to totally obsess about Satan and demons. In the middle is wisdom, and it's where I want you and me to live, to be vigilant. Because everything's not the enemy. The toast didn't burn this morning because the enemy burnt your toast. Don't rebuke your toast. I not rebuke you, toaster. Like people get carried away. You know, we have three enemies. We have the world that tries to lure us. What does it say? The pride of life. The pride in possession, the lust of the eyes. All those things are always pulling at us. I want to have pride in possession. I want to have that pride of life. I want those things that are twinkly. I just want them. That's always at war, and that's always pulling at us. We wake up with this flesh, right? This flesh that's just prone. Like, no, I don't want to live under the authority of God. I don't want to live as a servant. I want to be served. I don't want to live. We have that flesh. But the one we're honing in on today is we have an enemy, Satan. And when Paul writes the letters, did you notice when he's writing in Ephesians? And he makes it so ordinary as part of the Christian life that you will be tempted by the enemy. He says what? When talking about something so common we would think as unforgiveness and bitterness. He says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not let bitterness dwell. Do not let unforgiveness reign. Because if you do, you are giving way to who? Satan. So he applies something like unforgiveness, calls it, you might be able to say, demonic. But we casually just say, I'm just still working through this. If we hold on to unforgiveness and bitterness, like Paul says, we are giving in to the tempter who tempts us to hold and harbor these things. Do you guys hear what I'm preaching? So it's making it a normal part of everyday life. And that's why we need to be vigilant. Because what the enemy does is he separates, he divides. If you think that church splits, the enemy isn't working behind the scene, then you don't understand the work of the enemy. If you think that gossip, what is Satan called? The accuser of the brethren. If you think when he uses people as vessels to accuse people and to create gossip and to break up the family of God, if you don't think that's satanic, you don't understand spiritual warfare. Maybe you've made Hollywood your standard, right? Unless there's an exorcism and heads are turning, there ain't nothing demonic going on. If I don't see your head turn, it ain't demonic. But the things that Apostle Paul says to his church that are satanic are accusing the brethren and unforgiveness and anger towards your brothers. And that's why he said before communion, if you have something against anyone, stop what you're doing, go up to them and ask for forgiveness or tell them you've forgiven them so you can take communion with a clear conscience, right? Because that's the work of the enemy. So what we here have in today's text is Jesus, fully God, fully man, the Son of God. He is roughly around 30 years old, and he's about to start his ministry that's going to last 3 years. Before he starts his ministry, he fasts for 40 days and 40 nights. He's going to have an epic showdown with Satan before he goes out to destroy the works of the enemy. What does it say? Why did Jesus come? One of the reasons why Jesus came, to destroy the works of Satan. He said, I came to destroy the works of the devil. So he gets in the showdown. He's starving. He's weak. He's fully God. He could take all his privileges, but he's also frail in his humanity. And you've got to understand, notice that there's a conversation that happens. There wasn't, hey, how are you? I'm Jesus, you're Satan. They have known each other. That's what you need to understand in biblical history. What did Jesus say in his earthly ministry? I saw Satan cast from heaven. This wasn't the first time they were meeting. Satan, if you look at Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, it gives a description was most likely Satan. Satan was a beautiful, angelic creature that was most likely in charge of the worship and the glory of God and on the mountain of God, bringing glory to God. Just want to make clear that. On the mountain of God. When you come to archangels, some would argue he was the most superior. When you have Michael and you have Gabriel and people mentioned in the Bible. But something happened to Satan that is the epitome of evil, and pride is the root of all sin. He says, I am not okay with just being a worshiper on the mountain of God, using everything I am to make God's glory known and to glorify God and worship God and lift up the name of God. He said, I want to be God. And that's the heart of all evil. I'm not okay with just worshiping. I'm not okay with living for someone else. Like these songs I sing. Everything I am for you, Jesus. Who woke up and said, man, I can't wait to live for someone else today? Everything I am to follow you. Everything to lay down for you. All I am as an instrument of your glory to bring praise to you. Satan said, I'm not okay with just being an instrument. I want to be the one the song is sung to. And so this is not a new relationship. Satan has always wanted Jesus' glory. Do you guys hear me? He wants the fame of Jesus. He wants the name above all names like Jesus. He wants Jesus to bow down to him. He wants you to give your life to him, even if you don't know it. What did Jesus say to the Pharisees?
He said, your father is Satan. Woo! That's heavy. We just cleared out 5 seats for next week. That's kind of heavy, Jesus. That's kind of heavy, Jesus. He said, your father is Satan. You know why I know? Because you rebel against God just like him. That's how I know who your daddy is. Right? You know when a son acts like his father. So here they are in a continued conversation that started way long ago. And you can see even by the questions that Satan is asking him, that he is trying to make Jesus in his humanity fall because he knows what's at stake. Okay? The devil and or demons know where your weaknesses are. He's not going to tempt you with something that he knows you're not going to give in to you. Some of you will be tempted by being brought into a situation where you could drink or do drugs because you struggle with addiction. But you know what the beautiful thing is? That what does it say the first verse of this text? It says the Spirit led him to the wilderness. That the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to glorify the name of God the Father because he knew that Jesus would overcome and we'd be here today worshiping Jesus because he didn't give in to Satan. You guys hear that? In our everyday life, the Holy Spirit will allow you to get into situations, not so you fall to temptation, so you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and brings glory to God. Amen? That's how you got to see it. He will not tempt you beyond your means. Anytime you gave into temptation, it's because you wanted to. It's not because you didn't have the strength within to overcome. Some of you will be tempted to steal in creative ways. I'm going to cheat on my taxes. I'm not going to claim this. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take this. I'm going to do that. They'll never see that. Don't give in because he knows your weakness is money. Don't you dare give in. Some of you will be tempted to live sexually immoral. It's okay. That was 2,000 years ago. No big deal. Notice what the devil does in this? He twists scripture. Not that he doesn't use the Bible. He twists it. That's okay. That's no big deal. Fornication, adultery, porn, whatever. Everyone does it. God's forgiven. Yay. No. The enemy has you trying to eat a fruit that will ultimately bring destruction. Do you guys hear me? That's what he does. He promises you the world, says this will eternally satisfy you. If you only give into this, this is going to make everything okay. Then we take a bite of that fruit, and what happens? Instantly, just like Adam and Eve, we feel separated from God, and we feel that death in the flesh, and we said, this is not satisfying. It promised me the world, and it was just for a moment, because sin is satisfying for a moment, but then and it's just death. Some of you may be put in a situation to retaliate with violence or anger. Lean on the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome. There's a story of a man who just passed away. He loved Jesus, but he was a Hell's Angel before God saved him. I think he was like, I don't know all the titles in the Hell's Angel. It's not something I've studied. He was in the Salem chapter. I think he was like a bearer of arms. I think that's the title they called it. So obviously, the man was a violent man. You don't become the bearer of arms in the Salem chapter of Hell's Angels unless you've used a few weapons and been hit with a few. I mean, I think he had a few stabs, a couple bullets. It's part of the resume. But what happened is God saved him. A man of violence, intimidation. I'm not kidding. He walked cougars through a local town. This is a real story. I can't make this stuff up. He was violent, big, 6'6", 6'7", 280. Big, intimidated, violent, angry man. God saved him. And you could see God softening his heart over the years to finally, maybe a decade ago, they went on a bike trip with the church and they invited some people who weren't Christians. And one of these young men had a violent temper. And they pulled their bikes over on the side of the road. And for no reason at all, this young man walked up to this man and punched him right in the face. Just started anger, unprovoked anger. He punched this man. This man is much bigger. I don't care how old you are, if you're 6'7", 280, and you throw your fist, it's still going to hurt. And he said something unbelievable happened in his heart. He was tempted to be violent and angry towards this young man. But he said, I didn't retaliate, I turned the other cheek. And he couldn't believe what God had done in his heart. He said, Jesus did this. Jesus did this. And even today, when I tell you that story, what's that doing? That's bringing glory to God, right? Because he was in a situation of temptation, and he overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the power of the Holy Spirit. See, because Satan knows what to tempt us with. That man's weakness had always been violence and anger, but he didn't realize that the Holy Spirit had dramatically changed him, and what would cause him to fall in the past was not going to cause him to fall presently or in the future. And that can be your story. Someone in here saying, I can never overcome lust because the enemy has built a stronghold in me. You guys don't understand how powerful it is. Enemy does not have the right to write your story. You can walk in holiness. And that can go on and on, whether it's fear, anxiety, anger, gossip, thievery, whatever it is. Jesus is writing your story. Live in that truth. So the enemy tries to come at Jesus with the things he think will make him weak. What does he say first? He said, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Satan is constantly going to challenge the identity of Jesus. Now, Jesus, 40 days and 40 nights, hungry. He's learning before his ministry to depend on God above earthly food. The bread that God gives a spiritual sustenance. He's learning that he has to depend on the Spirit of God and God the Father, and that hunger is not going to bring him through in the ministry. No earthly food will cause him to endure, only the food from heaven. And he is frail. He hasn't eaten. He's weak. And what does Satan say? Just turn these rocks into bread and eat them. And Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Do you guys see that temptation and see him overcoming? And start seeing the pattern of Jesus says, it is written. Then he says to him, listen, you're so loved by God, the Father. Throw yourself off this cliff. They're in a high place. God, he has angels. Won't they protect you? Right? Every crazy relationship calls for crazy things to prove the love. Right? If you love me, you'll run around the Wakefield Lake with one leg and you'll put a flag that says my name and get out of that relationship immediately. Someone was just set free. Every crazy relationship, there's all kinds of circus acts to prove the love. What Satan's trying to do is say that God really loves you. Even if you throw yourself off this cliff, he's going to save you. And what does Jesus come back? It is written. You shall not test the Lord your God. Come on now, that's someone who's equipped in the scriptures. The man of God is not equipped till fully equipped till he knows the scriptures. And Jesus just, pow. Love that. Thirdly, and the most tempting to Jesus, he says, listen, if you bow down to me and worship, what is Satan looking for there? Worship. If you bow your knees to me, Jesus, Son of God, you don't have to go through the suffering of the cross. You don't have to be ridiculed. You don't have to be rejected. You don't have to be mocked. You don't have to be beaten. You got 3 years of struggle ahead of you. I can give it all to you now. Satan always does that. You don't have to be patient. Here's it all now if you just follow me. Do you guys realize if Jesus bowed down at that moment, there would be no redemption for me and you? Do you guys realize that? If Jesus gave into that temptation and sinned once, there would be no redemption for humanity, no cross, no resurrection, no return of Christ. The world would be turned upside down. But what does Jesus say? He says, no, I'm taking the hard road. I'm taking the tough road. I'm taking the road of suffering, the road of pain, because that's a road of Christ, and that's a road of anyone who follows Christ. And I will not bow down to you. I worship God, and I worship Him alone. Because really, anything the devil tempts you with, he's tempting you to worship something above God. Anything. And I love what Jesus said at the end. He just said, this conversation's done. Be gone. It is ready. Moving on. Right? But it's a question of worship. Do you treasure and worship sex above being obedient to God? Do you treasure and worship money above being obedient to God? Do you treasure or worship your time above being obedient to God? Do you treasure or worship yourself, which is your pride, above being obedient to God? Because every moment that we choose to sin and give in the temptation of the enemy, we're saying that thing is more valuable than God right now. Do you guys hear that? And to know that, and to live in that, and to obey that, is half the battle with overcoming the enemy. So I want to give you some real life stuff, some everyday application when the enemy tempts you. You know, I'm sick of watching National Geographic shows where that lion just picks off the weak buffalo. Who's sick of it? Like, how do you not learn? How do you not get strategic? You've got to approach this differently, buffalo. Right? Since the 1970s I've been watching this. It's the same attack, same thing over and over again. The weak one, they creep up on them, and they take them out. At some point, the chief buffalo has said, whatever we're doing, it's not working. Everyone's getting killed. Right? At some point in the church, we have to say, this dude's getting picked off. This woman's getting picked off. This church is getting separated. They're discouraged again. Everyone's down. We've got to do stuff differently. Amen? Finally, I saw a buffalo herd that got it. Finally. I rejoiced. I didn't realize how much I wanted to see it. But I saw the lion creeping up on him. You know how the lion does it. Just like the devil. What does the scripture say in 1 Peter? The devil roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom may devour. You don't even see him coming. Some of you don't even realize you've been duped in spiritual warfare because you don't believe it exists. Some of us are trying to treat the physical for what's going on spiritually. You can only overcome things spiritually by the Holy Spirit. You can't defeat them with carnal weapons. Do you guys hear what I'm preaching? I love we got a Pentecostal in the house today. Marianne, thank you. I need an amen corner. I hope you're starting it. I need an amen corner. I'm preaching good. But these buffalo, finally, the lion came up. It saw a weak one, a calf, because that's what the enemy does. It gets you in a weak state. They started to isolate him. So it started with the lead lion, then a few came. Initially, they started to isolate this weak buffalo. But the chief buffalo said, time out, I'm sick of this. He turned around and he stood his ground and said, we're having none of this today. Those things are beasts, man. In Africa, those things are beasts, man. It was like a wildebeest buffalo. Whatever that, water buffalo, forgive me, I'm from Lynn. But it goes like this, right? So he said, we're having none of this today. You ain't getting this calf. But the buffaloes that were taking off looked back and said, oh, shoot. And they started running back. The whole herd came, and I said, this is what I'm talking about. There's 300, 1,500-pound buffaloes. Why are you afraid of these four lionesses? And they stood their ground. A few stomps, those lions were gone. Gone. And I want to kind of look at this in a parable kind of way. The chief buffalo is Jesus, right? He says, enough's enough. Enough's enough. Not my child anymore. Not this weak calf. And I want you to see the other buffalo coming out, because those buffaloes just start going out and crushing lions. Boom. They just boom, kicking them, throwing them. I was loving every moment. Look it up on YouTube, man. This is where I want you to see this. Those buffaloes going out, I don't want you to think about us. I want you to think about as scriptures in the Word of God, okay? Because what does Jesus use every time he implores the Word of God? And when you send that Word of God out and you put that Word of God in, you defeat the work of Satan. Do you guys hear that? Jesus stood his ground. You implore the scriptures going out, hitting the enemy, resist the devil, he will flee. That's so important to understand. Because Noah said you can't defeat that which is evil by spirit, by flesh. You need that which is spirit. Who wrote the Word of God? The Holy Spirit, right? Jesus, if anyone can give just some wise saying or some fortune cookie thing or philosophy or those kind of things, it's Jesus, right? He does none of that. He says, it is written by the Holy Spirit. Be gone. It is written by the Holy Spirit. Some of you need some battle verses and want to give you a few today. So I'll tell you, know where the enemy can get me? In anxiety, in fear. Is anyone else like that? He can eat me up on fear. I just remember I've always been nervous since I was young. And you can blame it on crazy situations, you can blame it on this, but I'm always hypervigilant. You understand me? I walk into the house just nervous. What's going to go down right now? Something's about to go down. Be in fear, people. Be in fear. And so I've had to use, I put it right around my neck. Do not fear, only believe. Because I need that Word of God to remember to have faith. Because I know that's where I'm prone to fall. And what I constantly quote to myself is, this is one of my battle verses. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. You know what happens when you're having a panic attack and you throw that in the mix? That's the good stuff. Right? When I feel like he's finally going to get me. The wolf is always at the door. I can't endure anymore. I can't be strong anymore. I can't lead anymore. I'm done. I say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And all who rise up against me shall ultimately fall. And I hold on that scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee. Right? And I hold on to that with all I am. And I keep enduring. And Satan's not writing my story. And evil will not overcome. Do you guys hear me? Some of us need our own battle verses for our own weakness. Maybe somebody, the enemy always gets you with money. And you need these kind of, I will not build up all treasures on earth where it rust and moth destroy. I'll build up treasures in heaven. I've never seen the righteous forsaken and begging for bread. No, he will provide for me. I will overcome. Whatever your weakness is, maybe you're saying, I'm angry, I'm going to rip this guy's head off. That's it. I'm going to snap. That's it. No, I'm not going to let the sun go down on my anger. God has forgiven me of so much. Father God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you guys hear that spiritual warfare there? He says over and over and over again, it is written. So just these last few closing thoughts. Satan has no authority over your life. You've been bought with a price. You are Christ now. Satan has no authority, and you do not have to bow down to him or his plans for your life anymore. Know this truth. Secondly, I gave you those battle verses. And finally, I want to remind you of the power of the name of Jesus. Because listen, there might be times that you don't even want to share with anyone that you're going through such spiritual warfare, and it is spiritual warfare, where you're feeling almost the presence of evil, if it could be described. And you need to know this power in the name of Jesus. Because he is the name above all names. And this is what I encourage you to do. If you feel deep in the battle, say, Satan and or demons, the Lord rebukes you by the name of Jesus. Do you guys hear me? Say, Jesus is victorious. Jesus has defeated the enemy. Jesus has plans for my life. Jesus has overcome evil. And you resist and you implore the name of Jesus and the word of God, and the devil has to flee because you are free and a child of God. Amen? Amen. So let's pray.